Take your Bible and turn to Mark. Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. As Christians, we are to be people who are well acquainted with Christ. And that's why studying the Gospels are so important, because the Gospels are about Jesus. And we need to know everything that we can about Jesus. We need to know his teaching, need to know who he is, his person, his works, and we need to know everything about him. So I hope you understand the significance of studying a gospel. There are four of them, and we need to study each of them. And so this is important as we look into the scripture tonight. Especially, all of the scripture is important, and this is important tonight too. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And if you remember, this is a section that deals with controversy that Jesus encountered. Mark records five controversies here in this section that Jesus had with the Pharisees, and we looked at three of those so far. The first one had to do with the healing of the paralyzed man with sick of the palsy. And that pointed out Jesus' ability to forgive sins. And then the second one was the instance with Jesus eating with sinners. And that showed us his mission. His mission was to meet the needs of sinners. And then there was another controversy concerning the disciples and their fasting, the fact that they didn't fast. And that showed the joy that goes along with a relationship with Jesus. And then we come to the next two controversies tonight, and these both deal with the same issue, and that is the issue of the Sabbath. So let's begin by reading the first controversy here at the end of chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. The next one is in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and we'll look at that a little bit later on. It deals with another controversy about the Sabbath. Let's just read Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and the disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So we have the setting here described in verses 23 and 24. The disciples are going along with Jesus, and they come to a cornfield, as it says, and his disciples on the Sabbath day, they pluck the ears of corn, and they eat. And I'm sure that probably most of you know that this isn't corn as Americans think of corn, not the stuff that's supposed to be knee-high by the 4th of July. This is a grain like wheat or barley. And the word corn, the English word corn, has a very broad meaning, and it includes wheat products as well. We just normally think of it as the yellow stuff, you know, that you eat on the cobs. So probably not the yellow stuff, but they're going along probably through a wheat field, and they're hungry. In Luke's account, Luke chapter 6, verse 1, it describes them picking the corn and rubbing it in their hands to get the husks off, and having a little snack, eating those grains. A little granola bar there, early form of granola bar. But the Pharisees come along and they see that, and they accuse Jesus' disciples of violating the Sabbath. According to their tradition, this was violating the Sabbath. You say, well, how is that violating the Sabbath? The law, the Old Testament law, does prohibit work on the Sabbath. That's part of the Ten Commandments. And Exodus 20, verse 10, it does prohibit work. And what had happened among the Jews was they set up some more fences, I guess you could call them, to make sure that people didn't work on the Sabbath. And so they listed some things that you couldn't do to make sure that you don't break the Sabbath, which wasn't necessarily a wrong thing. It's not wrong to set up a fence to make sure that you don't sin. The problem was that what the Jews had done was they took those fences that were set up and brought them to the same level as God's Word. And they were making the Word of God void by their fences that they set up. Not that the fences were wrong, but they were getting things out of perspective. And that's what Jesus had to teach them. For example, in one Jewish commentary, I guess you could say, called the Talmud, one commentator, Edersheim, who's kind of a Jewish expert, he described one of their Sabbath laws. And it says, in case a woman rolls wheat to remove the husks, it's considered sifting. If she rubs the heads of wheat, it's regarded as threshing. If she cleans off the side adherences, it's sifting out fruit. If she bruises the ears, it's grinding. If she throw them up in her hand, it's winnowing. And so they identified all these different forms of work that could be done just, you know, in your house. Or in this case, out in the wheat field. So it does raise an important question, because the Sabbath is an important idea in the Bible. It's something that we find out about from the account of creation. It goes even back to that point, and it's emphasized over and over again in the Scriptures. And so this is important for us. How do we rightly practice the Sabbath, or the Sabbath principle? And I think as Jesus answers the Pharisees, we see some ways that will help us to rightly observe the Sabbath. And we see that as Jesus responds here in verse 25. The first way that Jesus helps us to rightly observe the Sabbath, and really this first way applies to any principle that we are trying to apply in the Scriptures. And that is, first of all, Jesus says, go to the Scriptures for guidance. Go to the Scriptures for guidance. We see that beginning in verse 25. The first thing he said to them, have ye never read? Have ye never read what David did? But what was he doing? He was pointing them to the Scriptures. He's saying, no, you got it all confused. You've put your tradition in a place where it doesn't belong. You need to go to the Scriptures. Have you never read? So Jesus says, go to the Scriptures for guidance about the Sabbath. And what do the Scriptures say about the Sabbath? Jesus tells us here in this first example about this account of what David did. And you probably remember that. David, in 1 Samuel 21, he had just learned from Jonathan about Saul's intentions for him. Saul was intending to kill him, and so David flees. And he goes to a place called Nob. And in 1 Samuel 21, we read that he talks to a man named Ahimelech, the priest. And he says, Ahimelech, I need some help. I'm on this business, and I need you to help me. And you notice here that Jesus said that David went in the days of Abiathar. Well, what's he talking about there? I thought this was Ahimelech the priest. In 1 Samuel 22, we learned that Abiathar is Ahimelech's son. So when Jesus refers to Abiathar, he could just be referring to the fact that Abiathar was alive during that time, or maybe he was kind of a co-priest with his father, but he's referring to that portion of Scripture, this account in 1 Samuel. So the priest gives David the showbread, the bread that was permitted only for the priest to eat by law, and he gives that to David. So what is Jesus saying here by referring to that account? What are the Scriptures saying here? I think we can learn that we need to go to the Scriptures for guidance about the Sabbath, and Jesus points out the fact that the Scriptures allow for works of necessity to be done on the Sabbath. David had a need. David was God's man. And David had a need for himself, for his men, and the priest met that need with the showbread. And that was acceptable. And Jesus uses the Scriptures to show that works of necessity are permitted on the Sabbath. So, Jesus goes to the Scriptures. And that's what we need to do when we are trying to figure out any issue in Scripture. We need to go to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures here show about the Sabbath that works of necessity are permitted. And as we seek to apply that principle, the principle of the Sabbath, we should be aware that works of necessity are permitted. You know, it's necessary to eat. It's necessary to do work to get food ready, even on the day of rest. It's necessary to do that. It's necessary for people to provide care in hospitals, to provide public service, police, firemen. These are necessary things. So works of necessity are permitted. And at the same time, we need to remember that it's easy for us sometimes to justify necessity. We can get in our minds, you know, this really is a necessity when it's not really a necessity. And so we need to make sure that as we apply this principle, we are doing, you know, the things that we are doing, the work that we are doing is truly a necessity. And it's not just something that we think is a necessity. So works of necessity are permitted, the Scriptures say. And Jesus lists another argument here as he responds to the Pharisees. It's not listed in Mark, but in Matthew, he points out the fact that the priests, in their service in the temple, they violate the Sabbath. Their work that they perform in the temple is right. It's permitted. So works of necessity are permitted on the Sabbath, and works of service are permitted on the Sabbath. And we'll go a little bit more into that when we come into chapter 3. But we need to see here that Jesus goes to the Scriptures. Have ye never read what David did? Have ye never read what David did? We need to make sure that we are familiar with the Bible. When we address any of our problems, we want to make sure that Jesus doesn't make that accusation of us. Have you never read? We have the Scriptures. We can read. We can read what God says. So how do we rightly observe the Sabbath? We need to go to the Scriptures for guidance. And then the second principle that I think we can see here is related to that, and that is that we need to submit to God's will for the Sabbath. We need to submit to God's will for the Sabbath. We need to go to the Scriptures, first of all, understand what God's will is, but then we need to submit to God's will. We see that in the next statement that Jesus gives in verse 27. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying that we need to submit to God's will for the Sabbath, submit to specifically God's purpose for the Sabbath. He gives the purpose. He clarifies that purpose for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And specifically, that purpose is for man's rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. It was made for a need that God sees that man has, and that is rest. One day out of seven. So we need to submit to that. Submit to God's purpose for the Sabbath. And then what Jesus says in verse 28 shows us that we need to submit to Christ's authority over the Sabbath. Look at verse 28. He says, therefore, the Son of Man, referring to himself, is Lord also of the Sabbath. And that emphasizes his authority. The word Lord emphasizes his authority. And his authority here is what is emphasized. In the text, that word Lord is the first word in the sentence. That's a way that Greek sentence structure emphasizes what's important in that sentence. So you could say, literally, he says, therefore, Lord is the Son of Man also of the Sabbath. So he's asserting his authority. he's showing the fact that they've gotten things all out of whack. They got their traditions to a point where they shouldn't be. And he's coming in and he's saying, I have the right to show you what is right in the practice of the Sabbath. I can do this. I have the authority over this. He gives the final interpretation of the Sabbath. And what Jesus wasn't doing here was setting aside the Sabbath. He wasn't saying, the Sabbath is not in effect now. He wasn't saying that at all. He wasn't saying that Jesus' disciples can do whatever they want. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. My disciples can do what they want. He wasn't saying that either. He was just showing that he has the authority to correct their misunderstanding. And so as we apply the principle of the Sabbath in our own lives, we also must submit to Christ's authority as we put this into practice. We need to pay attention to what Christ says, what Jesus says. We are not the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus has the right to clarify as he chooses. So Jesus shows us to seek guidance from the Scriptures, number one. Number two, submit to what the Scriptures say. Submit to God's will. Submit to God's purpose for the Sabbath. Submit to Christ's authority over the Sabbath. And then we come to chapter 3. And this is the fifth instance of controversy here that Jesus faces in this section. But again, it deals with the same issue, the Sabbath. And as we look at these first six verses, there's another principle that we can see for applying the Sabbath. So let's read those first six verses of Mark chapter 3. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 1, and follow along as I read through verse 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. I think the third principle that we see here for applying the principle of the Sabbath is that we must serve others on the Sabbath. We must serve others on the Sabbath. And we see that as Jesus heals this man with a withered hand, or with a hand that's become dried up, it's stiff, it's paralyzed in some way. And Jesus wants to make a point here. And we know that because of what he said in verse 3. He looks at this man as they are in the synagogue, and he tells him to stand forth. And literally, there's four words there for his command. He's telling him to arise into the midst, or come into the middle. And from what we know about synagogues, the seats were all around the outside of the walls. And so Jesus is telling this man to come down in the middle, where everyone can see you. And he's trying to make a point here with what he's going to do to that man. He's trying to show something here. I think what he's trying to show is that we need to serve others on the Sabbath. And a few principles that we can note here about that from Jesus' question here, I think we can see that serving others must not be neglected on the Sabbath. Jesus asks them in verse 4, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? So he's presenting an option here for his accusers that they can't answer. But it shows us that for him not to have done that to that man would have been to do evil. And I think the principle is that we must not neglect serving others. We must not neglect doing good to others on the Sabbath. As we put that principle into practice, this is something that we must do. And if we neglect to do it, it's doing evil. We must do that. And then we also see the importance of serving others with the right attitude. In verse 5, as Jesus looks around on his accusers, I think it's important for us to notice his attitude, the way that he looks at them. When he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. It's kind of a strange combination of emotions, isn't it? He looks at those accusers and he knows what's in their hearts. He knows that they're becoming hardened by their resistance to him. And he's angry. Jesus was angry at that. You know, anger is something that is unpleasant, I think, surely. But we need to see here that Jesus was angry. And we need to notice what he was angry at, because that was right, because Jesus did it. And, you know, not all anger is sinful anger. You know, Paul said, be angry and sin not. So there's a kind of anger that is right, and we see that here. Jesus is angry at sin, at the hardness of heart. He's angry at that. But he's also grieved. He's saddened. So that shows us the right attitude that we need to have as we serve others, as we encounter difficulty. We are angry at sin, but we are grieved for hardness of heart. So we need to reflect Jesus' attitude towards sin as we serve others. And then we also need to rely on the power of Jesus Christ. And we see that magnificently displayed here as Jesus heals this man. Notice how he heals him. In verse 5, he simply speaks. He says, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. That's all he did. All he had to do was speak the word, and the man was healed. And that shows the power of Christ. And that's what we need to rely upon, even as we seek to serve others on the Sabbath. So we apply that principle. We need to rely on the power of Jesus Christ. And then we need to serve others blamelessly. You notice how Jesus was watched here in the synagogue. In verse 2, it says, they watched him. And why was that at the end? That they might accuse him. There were people that were trying to bring him down. And even after he healed this man, what was the result? In verse 6, the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians, people that probably were their enemies, and they took counsel with them against him, how they might destroy him. So this is the first instance of people turning against Jesus here. But this was their intent. They wanted to bring him down. They wanted to find something that they could use to turn people against him, to show that he was wrong. Of course, they couldn't do that because Jesus is God and he's perfect. And we see that as we read the Gospels. But I think it's true that followers of Christ encounter the same type of difficulty that Jesus faced. We are Christ's disciples, and we follow him, and we see the same opposition, the same type of attitudes towards us that Jesus faced. And that underscores the fact that we need to be blameless. We don't want people to see something in our life that they can grab a hold of and bring to accuse us of. We need to strive to be blameless as we serve others. But serving others is something that is right for us to do as we observe the principle of the Sabbath day. So how can we do that? Well, there's many different ways. I'm sure you can think of many different ways. You can serve others by having people over to your house for a meal. You can serve others by going to the rest home and ministering to others in that way. That's something that is right for us to do. Something that is in keeping with what Jesus was teaching here by his actions. You say, well, isn't this something that is for Israel? You know, we are the church, and this is something that, you know, was done away with, right? You know, we don't practice that. And, you know, there's people that teach that. And people that teach, we do not practice the Sabbath. And there's a sense in which that is true. We're not under the same regulations that Israel was. But as I've said before, you know, the Sabbath is part of the creation account, something that transcends the law. The principle of the Sabbath, of taking one day in seven for rest and for service, is something that's all throughout the Scriptures. And even here in the New Testament, Jesus is not tearing this down. He's showing us how to rightly apply it. And as we do that, we honor him. We honor Jesus Christ by doing that. You say, well, when are we supposed to do that? Well, you know, the New Testament doesn't specifically say what day the Sabbath is. But I think there are good reasons for observing that on the Lord's Day. And you probably saw in your bulletin about this pamphlet that's available here, Reclaiming the Lord's Day for the Lord. And some of those good reasons for setting the Lord's Day apart, which is Sunday, are scriptural. There are scriptural reasons for that. So I want to encourage you to pick that up and read that. And we have a lot of copies of that available. And I saw we were getting low out there. So I want to encourage you to pick that up and read that. That gives some good instruction for the Lord's Day and how that day is to be different from other days and how there's some good basis for that. And so we need to put these principles put them alongside that, and we need to really consider, is this how we are practicing the Sabbath? Are we doing these things? You know, are we going to the Scriptures? Are we going to the Scriptures for any issue, for guidance on any issue? We need to do that. We need to submit to God's will in the Scriptures, and we need to serve others. We need to serve others as Jesus did. So may the Lord give us grace to understand how we can apply these things in our own hearts, in our own lives. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And oh Lord, please help us to understand how we can learn from the life of Jesus and learn from his words and his actions, and help us to cherish these things, to really cherish Christ. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for all that he has done for us. And we pray that you would give us the grace that we need to seek to obey you, seek to obey and submit to you, submit to your authority. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.